I'm Shanna Merton, host of the Tech Tools for Teachers podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of My EdTech Life. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Monday evening. Hopefully, wherever it is that you're joining us from, it is you had a beautiful day and a wonderful day. If you're joining us overseas, it may could be well into Tuesday. But anywhere you are, thank you, as always, for all of your support. We appreciate all the likes, the shares, the follows. Thank you so much to our brand new YouTube subscribers. As you know, our mission for 2024 is to get to 1,000 subscribers, guys. And we're about, you know, maybe about 325 short. So if you haven't done so yet, please jump over to our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up and subscribe so you can go ahead and check out all of these amazing episodes and interviews with amazing guests. And I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. We have Lucid for Education, Content Clips. We've got Alongside, and we've also got Goose Chase as well. So thank you to all our wonderful sponsors. Appreciate all of your support, and to also all our audience members. As always, thank you. Please make sure that you join us in the chat. Let us know where you're from. Drop us a line. Share your comments. We definitely appreciate all of the participation. But I am excited for today's show. Today's show, we're going to be talking about shaping the future with code. So I'm excited because I've met both our guests, I should say, a couple years ago. So I would love to welcome to the show Mr. Hal Speed, who is being joined by Mr. Marty there in the background. Hal, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great. Looking forward to our conversation, Font.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Hal. I really appreciate you being here. And like I mentioned to you, we were talking a little bit pre-chat how I got to meet you and see you at a presentation here in Temple, Texas, about maybe 2 years ago or so at a CSTA event. And that was exciting. That was my very first event there and getting to hear so many wonderful educators and practitioners and just knowledgeable people talking about coding and talking about future ready skills and so on. So now I'm excited to actually have you as a guest and get to learn from you one-on-one, because I remember you did do a presentation there and I was like, wow, like it was above me, but it was so exciting to like say like, hey, this is it. This is what we need to prepare our students for. So
yeah,
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to dive in, Hal. So Hal, for our audience members who are joining us today live or are going to be catching this on the replay, who may not be familiar with your work just yet, can you give us a little introduction and what your context is within the education STEM coding space?
Of course. So I actually come out of the high-tech industry, and it wasn't until my own children were going through middle school and high school that I realized just how little STEM and computer science is in our public education systems. And so that turned me into a volunteer initially, and then moved on to become more of a super volunteer. And that may have been where you saw me. I volunteered with the CSTA, the Computer Science Teachers Association. I helped reinvigorate some chapters here in the state of Texas. It was on the writing team for the K-12 CS framework, which helps influence some of the state standards for computer science. I also volunteered in the early days with code.org as they were bringing out their CS fundamentals curriculum and doing some train the trainer for elementary school teachers to get them excited about computational thinking, coding, and computer science. And then eventually I felt like my life was getting a little bit out of balance. I was working for a high-tech company, but I was spending all my time volunteering. And I got the opportunity to work with the Microbit Educational Foundation in 2017 when they were bringing the Microbit out of the UK and into the US. And so really had the privilege of bringing Microbit to the U.S. At ISTE. It was in San Antonio that year, 2017. And then from there, I just really been focused on the edtech industry and just doing what I can to promote this idea into public education, that all students have access to this skill, really as a springboard to social economic mobility in this epoch of intelligent machines.
That is wonderful. And I mean, I just love what you mentioned there and a little bit of your background and obviously now the work that you're doing through Robotical. And of course, you know, we'll be talking about Marty, but I want to talk a little bit about what you just mentioned and just unpacking that a little bit, you know,
sure.
Talk these skills as far as coding, critical thinking. Can you expand a little bit on that and then kind of really maybe through your lens and your experience, what it is that you're seeing, obviously with AI and the talk about machine learning and large language models, you know, how can students positively be affected by being introduced to coding at a young age?
Yeah. And so I use a really layman's kind of definition. And so if any academics are out there, please pardon me. I'm not an academic. But we throw around this term computational thinking quite a bit, and it's relatively hard to define. But to me, it's like if we look at music and band, you can learn music without playing an instrument, but then it's the instrument or the voice that then brings that music to life. And it's the same thing I feel like for computational thinking and coding. We can teach these concepts of computational thinking, but then it's through programming and through the code is how we bring that to life. And just like there's multiple types of instruments, there's multiple languages of coding, but they all essentially do the same thing around making music, or in this case, integrating and applying computational thinking.
Excellent. You know, and I really love that analogy, actually, being kind of a, you know, just a music nerd too, and being in band, I can really pick up on that. And to be honest with you, that is one of the things that when I talk to my teachers about, I talk to them when I introduce tech to them, is also to treat it as an instrument, the applications, you know. And obviously you don't pick up a guitar right away and you can play, you know, Stairway to Heaven or anything like that, but it takes some time. It takes some learning. You got to build some tech calluses, you know, the little productive struggle, and then you kind of start learning. And the more you practice and the more you're exposed to it, then those melodies start coming out, just like you mentioned. And I absolutely love that. The fact that there needs to be, number one, that introduction, but also that exposure, that practice, and more than anything, that just continuity from grade to grade, or even from subject to subject. So that's something that is important. So That's really great. I love that.
The recorder kind of becomes our block-based programming, right? You don't normally see a recorder in an orchestra, just like we don't normally see block-based programming maybe in a professional programmer's life, but it's an important teaching tool to help introduce those concepts and then migrate on to more advanced coding languages.
Excellent. Well, now, Hal, through the work that you've been doing, do you primarily work, you know, in the, you know, just in the K-12 space, or is it more, you know, within the K-5 space that you work with? Tell us a little bit about
that. I think it's changed a little bit over time. Initially, I learned kind of the hard way that if you wanted to change education, you really had to start doing that at the state and national levels. So you can only do so much at a local school. Maybe you would get an advocate as a teacher or as a principal, but to really impact students at scale, the U.S. educational system is so managed by the states. That's where a lot of the impact takes place. And so I started CS for Texas here in the state to help advocate for that.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, one of the things that I know is really the importance of introducing such technology to students. I remember being in the classroom. One of the things that I absolutely love was introducing programming, and it was just block-based programming because at the time I was just very excited to just go to a conference like TCEA, learn a little bit about, you know, scratch coding, and then come back and be able to share that with students and see the great things that they're able to do, and then kind of build up into makey-makey kits and so on. And so I have firsthand been able to see the positive effect of learning, you know, these programs, even if it's just something as simple as block-based, and then progressing into the makey-makey kits where the students, you know, were just creating some phenomenal things and even building star reviews that they would do using, you know, scratch coding and things of that sort, solar systems for science, doing science conductors and so on. So I want to ask you, you know, what is it that you're kind of seeing, since you have a little bit more of an overarching view than I do, in your experience, where are you seeing school districts picking up more of these programs and implementing a little bit more? Or have you noticed that maybe there's a little kind of a, you know, a little, I guess, slowing down of things? What is it that you're seeing through your lens?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm seeing a lot of back to basics, right? And we were talking a little bit about the state standardized test. Mm-hmm. And we know what gets tested gets taught and gets the attention. And until we get more of the testing infrastructure around some of these computational and computer science skills, so much attention right now is on just the core math and English language arts and returning, fixing the learning loss that we had over the mm-hmm. COVID years. So it's really disappointing to see that computer science is becoming almost a luxury, and the necessity is kind of back to the basics of math and ELA. I will say, kind of back on your earlier question, you know, Microbit is such an awesome tool for middle school ages. And one of the things that excited me so much about Robotical and about Marty is the ability to bring that down into elementary school age students with some junior block-based programming with pictures and icons for pre-readers, and even going down as young as 4 or 5 year olds programming Marty with color cards. And so as we've all seen the literature, to really expand access to computing and to get girls and other underrepresented populations interested in this, the younger that we can get them excited, the better that is. And I think Marty is a really effective tool to do that in the elementary school ages.
Absolutely. Real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Desmond Hasty, who's joining us on LinkedIn. And he says that he loves the topic and he's glad that he is tuned in. So Desmond, thank you so much for stopping by. Please make sure, if you have any questions or comments, make sure that you drop them in, guys. This show is definitely here a community of learning. This is our professional development that we get from HAL and Robotical. And obviously, we're going to be talking about Marty, because one of the things that I do want to let everybody know is that I myself have experienced Marty a while back. I was able to try out Marty, and I must tell you that I had so much fun with Marty and the things that you are able to do and to program. And I know that a friend of mine, also mutual friend, Stacy Roshan, also as well, is familiar with Marty and into coding. So I know that we know what Marty can do, and we know the benefits that Marty can have in a classroom. So Hal, let's talk a little bit about now your work through Robotical, and of course with Marty the robot. Like, what is the initial mission and vision that Robotical wants to accomplish through the use of Marty the robot?
Yeah, so Robotical's mission is really around igniting a passion for learning, specifically in the STEM types of subjects. And so that's why we focus so much on making Marty and our tools and our lessons fun and engaging for the students, but also for the educators too. Fonz, you were talking about how you just love it. And that's the kind of feedback that we get from educators. It's just, it's a robot with personality, and it really comes to life. And you see how people are like, oh, I love Marty, or oh, Marty's so cute. And to help with that, we also provide sticker sheets that the students can decorate Marty and really customize the robot. And then they can also customize the name, and it can be more feminine, it can be more masculine, it can be whatever they want. And that makes the learning more exciting and more fun for them, which is ultimately the goal.
Yeah. No, and you know, one of the things I do want to add, I know how honestly, like you're really selling it short, but I know we're going to get into it because honestly,
Don't tell my boss then.
I really had a blast with it. And you're talking about a grown man who, I mean, and of course, being in education and working with my students and using Ozobots, using Spheros, using, you know, pretty much all sorts of things. Like I mentioned, the Makey Makey kits and so on. But having an actual robot that you can program and you're using it, programming through your phone, you've got the cards and the accessories. That's one of the things, too, that I loved, that personalized touch that either students in a group or a classroom can go ahead and do and just ready to pick up. But the main thing, Hal, that I want to say that I am very excited about and that people need to check out, because I know Desmond is checking it out here, and I know he's really into computer science and, you know, technology integration. But your website, the website that comes along, you know, has a myriad of resources that are there for teachers, and I feel that it really helps teachers that are at any level, from teachers that are fairly new and want to introduce it to even more advanced teachers. The resources there were unbelievable, and it's really an amazing asset to any classroom. So tell us a little bit more about what we can find as far as resources on that website, as I keep sharing the link here in our chat as well.
Yeah, so I would divide it into kind of two halves. There's the student-facing part, which is the coding software, and I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more detail about the different coding environments that comes with Marty. But then there's also the educator-facing side, which we have a learning portal that has over 100 free lessons that are available. No reoccurring license, no teacher login. They're just there, freely available to use. They also, the majority of them are aligned with the CSTA standards, which is kind of the benchmark for most of the state standards out there. And many of the international standards as well. And then for more advanced topics, we have resources to help print 3D items that you can augment your robot with and kind of, again, kind of make it more your own. Our ways for integration with more advanced electronics, like integration with Raspberry Pi and Python and things of that nature. And then one that's quite new is the ability to create machine learning models for audio or for images and have Marty, the robot, respond and use the robot's output to respond and program your own machine learning model.
And that's, again, you've summed it up as far as what is there. Now, Hal, if you don't mind, what I'm going to do here is I am going to bring in the website too as well, because, you know, honestly, like I'm myself being a visual person and a lot of our guests here that are joining us, if you're listening to us and you're checking this out on the replay, please make sure you go to robotical.io, where you can check out all of the amazing resources that Hal has just shared. And here, if you're catching us live, I mean, you're seeing this right now. And the first thing you see is, man, you see that Marty is quite a character here. And so that is amazing. So a couple things that I would love to point out is for all my friends that are joining us is just being here, getting to meet Marty, you know, get to know what it is that, you know, he's inspiring to learn. He's got a lot of great videos, a lot of great information, and the features that are here that are available are amazing. And like Hal said, even if you, and myself too included in my experience, even though you may want to introduce this and maybe you feel maybe just a little overwhelmed, you don't have to be overwhelmed, because if you can check out the drop menu here, lessons and resources, Marty for educators. You've got even information hell here for funding and grants, professional development, why teach STEM, and so on. So guys, please make sure you go to Robotical to check this out.
Robotical.io.
Yeah. Anything here else that you would love for me to share or show how, let me know. I can go ahead and drive
this
for you.
Look at a couple of things. I mean, immediately you'll notice on this screen, there's a couple of places where you can click for a free trial. So we do have an evaluation program. So if you are in the process of considering purchasing robots, you can request an evaluation unit. And then if you qualify, we'll send out a robot for 2 weeks and you can evaluate it with your students in your classroom and you can learn firsthand just what an awesome tool this is. Why don't we show them what the student-facing view is? So if you go to the Let's Code menu and then click on that top one that says Code Online, that'll give you an idea of, and just click No there. That'll give you an idea of what the student's going to see, whether it's through a browser for Chromebooks, Windows, and Mac, or whether it's on a tablet for iPads or Android. So a very student-friendly view, really an easy way to connect to Marty. I've heard horror stories about other robots and I'm trying to connect over Bluetooth. And I feel like that's an area that we've really excelled at and make that super, super easy for educators. And then you'll see on the left-hand side, there are four primary coding environments. The fifth one would be Python text-based coding, which would be for older students where you use your own Python IDE. But in the app itself, we've got the Marty controller, Marty Blocks Jr., which is going to be very similar to a Scratch Jr. style interface. That's blocks going left to right with pictures. And then Marty Blocks is going to be more of a traditional block-based programming with top to bottom, similar to Scratch.
I love this. Now, so Hal, just to clarify, because you mentioned here, so we can connect via Bluetooth, which means that we can connect to a device. And so would this be something that is device agnostic? In other words, I can control it with either a Chromebook, a laptop, a phone, an iPad. Is that accurate to say?
So we don't recommend phones, partly because of the screen size and also technically the way they handle Bluetooth is a little different. So tablets. Apple and Android tablets, and then through a browser for Chromebooks, Windows, and Mac. It would need to be a Chrome browser or an Edge browser that supports the Bluetooth technology that we use to connect.
Excellent. So, I mean, guys, if you noticed here, a couple of key things that I want to reiterate that Hal said, and especially Desmond, if you're listening, and to all our audience members, the free trial that you have, or actually,
evaluation.
Think of it as a
try before you buy, right? It's like when you go to buy a car, right? You want to take it for a test drive. So if you're in the market for a robot, then hit us up and take Marty for a test drive.
Yes, 2 weeks. I promise you guys, you will have so much fun in those 2 weeks that it's going to be very hard for you to let go of Marty. But within those 2 weeks, it's a great way for you to introduce it to your class and, of course, get familiar with it. And obviously, you know, sharing it with all the stakeholders and the powers that be that are the decision makers to show them the benefit of what Marty or the benefits that Marty has to offer within the class setting, whether it's in an after-school code club or just lessons within your current content too as well. So I definitely recommend that for sure. And you can find that on the webpage. But again, just seeing the unplugged lessons. So here, even with the unplugged lessons, you've got lessons here where you really, you know, are just simple, low barrier to entry.
So let's talk a second maybe about unplugged, because you really don't need the software for that. That's really just an explanation of what you're going to do. Unplugged, or some people may call it screen free. So Marty has a built-in color sensor in the left foot. And then Marty also comes with color cards that help describe, like red is going to be to stop and celebrate. Green is going to be to go forward. And the students make a simple little maze. This would be more for like 4 to 6 year olds, kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, first grade kind of range. And so right out of the box, you're not having to build Marty a Pert Marty together. And so you're not wasting all that time to build your robot. We're getting those quick wins. And we're building that excitement by having those young students lean in, programming Marty simply just with these color tiles.
Perfect.
And it's maybe also worth noting, as far as the robot, a lot of other robots, you have to actually take out of classroom instruction time to recharge the battery. Where Marty's battery is removable from the head. And then in the classroom set, you get an external charging cradle and extra batteries. So you always have a spare battery ready to go and never have to stress about, oh, did I remember to charge the robot last night? Oh, kids, we're not going to be able to do robotics today. Sorry.
I love it.
So you know, anything that we can do to make the educator's life easier, We're trying to do that so that the students have access to the robot and to computer science.
Love it. Now, Hal, now that we came back, I will reshare the screen. So we'll talk about, a little bit about Marty with controller and so on and so forth. But because I did have the full screen here, can you show us a little bit about those color blocks that you had, just so our audience members who are joining us live can catch this? And, you know, that'll be great.
Yeah, so there's two different styles. Each robot comes with kind of this paper style color card, and they are double sided. So you've got forward, backwards, left, right, and then stop and dance. So green's forward, yellow's backwards, blue and purple. And then in our classroom set, so we have classroom sets of 5, 10, and 15 robots. Those come with additional color tiles. Think of them kind of like a mouse pad. They've got cloth on one side and neoprene on the other, so they stick to the floor better. They don't slide around, and they're much more durable and lasting.
That is great. That is great. So, guys, a lot of resources that are available. And like I said, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit more here about everything else that Marty offers. Now, I know we've got Marty the controller here, but being that I don't have a Marty available, I know that you would definitely click on this, and then you would go ahead and pair your Marty the robot. So let's talk a little bit more, Hal, as far as the controller feature. What are some of the activities or some of the dexterity that we're trying to build here and knowledge for our students through Marty the controller?
Yeah, so what we would see in the controller, like many robots, is a form of remote control where the robot's going to directly respond to commands. I'm kind of like a remote control car. What you would see on the screen, though, are all of the movement buttons, the forward, the backwards, the left, and the right, are also going to be outlined with the same color that we used in the Unplugged lessons, so that we're reinforcing those directions. Because at this age, students are still kind of learning their left and their right, and you know, is it Marty's left? Is it my left? And so helping them get along there. But it's very simple. It's not drag and drop yet. It's just press a particular direction or a particular command. And so we've got some simple commands about waving or kicking Marty's soccer ball, which is a little ping pong ball, or wiggling the eyes and things like that. And then another really ingenious feature that we've added to the controller is what we call a sequencer. And you toggle it between controller mode and sequencer mode. And when it's in sequencer mode, the robot doesn't directly respond to the commands, but it populates each individual command in a little racetrack. So we introduce the concept of building a sequence of steps. What do I want to do? Step one, step two, step three. It's not drag and drop yet. It's just simply press a command, and then the student sees that command get populated. And then when they're ready to, quote, run their program or to run their sequence, they click the green flag. And then Marty will execute each of those commands, and it'll highlight each command as it goes through the sequence.
Excellent. I love that. Oh my gosh. Like it really, honestly, it's all, how to describe this, like an all-in-one sort of, like, for example, because if I was still in the classroom, I know for, you know, depending on the age levels and groups and so on, sometimes, you know, you would have different things for different, you know, activities that you wanted to share, but just seeing how, or actually the ability that one has with Marty to go unplug, then to go to Marty the controller. And the next thing, if we can talk about this, how too, because I want to make sure we cover everything, is, you know, talking about Marty here with the Blocks. You know, this was, was Marty so Jr., correct?
Marty Blocks Jr. So some people might recognize this looks very similar to Scratch Jr. The main difference for us is we're going to be looking down on the top of Marty's head versus kind of a front of the stage view. So Fonz, if you want to click that little landscape icon in the top center with the blue and the green, you know, that'll bring up some of our built-in surfaces. So pick your favorite one. I like the Mars one personally, but the beach one's kind of cool too. Or
see the
just
Mars
click
one.
On it. Yep. And then click on the check mark in the upper right corner. And then just like that, Marty's on the surface of Mars. And so as Marty, you manipulate Marty in the real world, the Marty sprite is going to move around on the screen. So if we tell Marty to go forward or we tell Marty to turn, we'll see the sprite on the screen also replicate those commands that the robot's doing in the real world. So you're in the blue menu, which is all of our motions. If you want to kind of just click through the different menus, the magenta menu is going to be our social emotional expressions. So one of the great things about a humanoid robot is it's much easier for students to relate to, especially students that might be on the autism spectrum. So there's academic research out there that talks about how having a humanoid robot, it's maybe easier for them to relate to. And things like my excited eyes or my angry eyes helps give words to feelings through a humanoid robot like this. The green menu, if you want to click along, is going to be some built-in sounds. And then the orange is just a little bit of control logic, so it introduces looping. And then red is, of course, is how we end our program. And you also have a repeat forever there with the white arrows that will go back and continue that program.
All right. So again, we did just, of course, through the color coding, like really it's unplugged. We have the controller, then we have this wonderful activity, all with one, you know, within one ecosystem, which is Marty the robot,
one app.
The robotical one app.
You don't have to worry about, oh, which app do I need or which robot do I need? You know, one robot, one app.
That is wonderful. That is amazing. Now, you hit on a lot of things, and if we can expound on that a little bit, just because, you know, we talked about the social emotional aspect of it. What has been your experience, or maybe what have you heard from teachers that have evaluated the robot and being able to use it with students that might be on the spectrum? How have they reacted to it? What have they seen? So if you don't mind sharing a little bit, maybe some success stories, that'd be great.
Marty's really different than the other robots that are out there. And you know, one thing I hear over and over again is, we bought this cheap robot so that we could say we're doing robotics, but it only kept their attention. You know, not that it didn't last physically, but it really only kept their attention and their engagement for a couple of weeks. And then once they were done with it, they were kind of at a loss about what to do next. And so that's one thing I hear over and over again about how Marty has kind of this high floor or high ceiling, low floor, wide walls, that it can do so much for so many different ages and for so many different types of students. We're talking some about students on the autism spectrum, but also students whose maybe native language may not be English. We've got some text-to-speech capabilities. The software itself has been translated into multiple languages. So even on the blocks that have the text and the words, you can set your language to a different language. So just making it more accessible. That's another comment I hear quite a bit from educators of, we've got refugees from name your country and they're in the US, they're anxious about living in a different country and not knowing the language, and a tool like Marty helps find that common ground where they can start programming the robot. They get that sense of accomplishment while also building their language skills with the robot.
That is amazing. And you know how, I just want to let you know, I prior to this, because obviously Marty wasn't out yet, but being in the classroom, everything that you said, I can definitely, you know, just second all of that, because in the school district that I'm at, you know, predominantly Hispanic, but in my particular school, it was a lot of students coming in, you know, from Mexico, Spanish speaking, but getting them in fifth grade and getting them involved with the coding and with Scratch and, you know, Spheros and things of that sort, it was very interesting because it's almost like it leveled the playing field as far as language is concerned for all my students, because through the coding, and even though it may have been block coding, things of that sort, it's almost like a whole other language. However, I do agree with you that this does help our students acquire language and their language skills and even their collaboration and presentational speaking skills, because they're learning, you know, how to program. And so I want to kind of give an example of what you just meant, because right now I am on the next activity here with Marty. So we'll pull this in. And this right off the bat is what really spoke to me here, where you've got the speak and you've got the translate too as well. So I think that is really neat.
So this is Marty Blocks, our mm-hmm. traditional block-based programming language. And all of the green blocks with Marty's face are going to be the ones that make Marty do something. And so if you go down to the speak menu that you were looking at a minute ago, the second from, that block at the top says Marty speak. And so you can drag that over into the coding canvas, maybe zoom in a little bit so that your audience can see it. And there you go. And so, let me explain the difference between those two blocks. The one with Marty's face is going to have Marty actually do the talking. So once Marty is paired with your device, then that sound is going to come through the built-in speaker for Marty as if the robot is talking to you. The one that is just simply a speak command is going to come through your device, whether it's your Chromebook or your iPad.
That is amazing.
And then under translate, if you drag that block out, then you can insert that where it says Marty speak hello. Drop that into the hello field. Yep, just like that. And then you get a compound block. And then you can go select your different languages. And of course, you can type other text in. It doesn't have to be just simply hello. So whatever text you type, Marty is going to speak. And then I always recommend, because, you know, sometimes when people are speaking Spanish, it sounds a little like English, Spanish. So if you go to the set accent block right above the translation menu, you see that set accent to English, it says?
Oh.
In the column? Just to the right, a little bit to the right.
Oh, okay. Set accent. Down,
right there. So if you put that above the Marty speak block, then that's going to, and you set that, like in your case, set it to Italian. It's going to provide a much more authentic pronunciation when Marty says good evening in Italian.
This is
so same with Spanish, right? If you set it to Spanish, then you can actually set the accent to be a Latin American Spanish or European Spanish.
That is amazing. Now, Hal, I want to ask, how many languages does Marty support here through this platform?
So if you click on kind of in the top center, there's a blue world with a little drop down. That'll show you the different languages that the blocks themselves can get translated to. So if you want to do the block-based programming and have the text in the block be something other than English, you can do that. So like Espanol is on there. And then on the speaking one,
I love this. This is wonderful. Wow. But look at this. I mean, Al, I must say, you know, for all our audience members that are actually getting to see this or are going to be watching the video, or if you're listening to this on the replay, you should definitely make sure and visit, you know, Robotical and make sure that you see Marty Blocks, because this is a game changer. And especially like Hal was talking about, you know, with students that are coming in, you know, from different countries, you know, and we're seeing that, you know, day in and day out, week in and week out. But the ability to have a tool, this is an all-in-one. And from what I'm seeing, again, you've got unplugged activities.
Yes.
Then you've got your MARTI, or the controller, I should
controller,
say, where
sequencer.
You can connect. Yeah. And then you've got your MARTI Junior. That you've got, and then you've got your MARTI blocks.
Yep.
Four wonderful ways to be able to learn.
Python on top of that.
Oh, Python too. Let's go ahead and talk about that too as well.
Well, let's hit a couple more things on MARTI blocks. So you're probably not going to be able to pull them up on your screen. And so that's why I would encourage people to request an evaluation unit so you can really see what MARTI is capable of. But we talked a little bit about some of the sensors on MARTI. Right? So we know MARTI has got a color sensor in the left foot. There's also sensors on both feet to detect an obstacle in front of MARTI or to detect the ground below MARTI, as well as an accelerometer in MARTI's head to detect changes in motion. And then there's a couple of empty spots on the back of the feet where you can also add additional sensors to detect noise and to detect light. And I think in elementary school, sensors can be such a powerful tool for students, but it can be a little hard or complex for some educators to teach. And so we added a tool called a sensor dashboard that finds you're not going to be able, you can click on it, but it's going to ask you to pair with a MARTI. But what it does is allows the student to see in real time all the sensor data that MARTI sees. And so it's a way to demystify and to take this abstract concept, like what's an accelerometer? What's it really doing? What's it measuring? And then present it in a visual format on a graph to where the students can see when I move MARTI around, the acceleration changes and I see that change in the graph.
Yeah.
It also allows the students to see gravity, right? Because MARTI is accelerating at the rate of gravity down, and MARTI is going to say, hey, Hal, I see gravity. Here's what it looks like to me.
That is wonderful. And, you know, and that's such an important tool because I know myself growing up, even, you know, having conversations about accelerometers and things of that sort, and even through going through high school, it was visually seeing it, but just flat on paper. And then having to explain that concept to me, I couldn't visualize that. You know, I had so much trouble in geometry because, you know, my depth perception and just, I had so much trouble visualizing shapes and so on. But I love what you said, you know, being able to do this through MARTI, and I think you used the correct terminology, demystifying this for students and being able to see what is happening is something that is so important. So, I mean, for myself as a former math teacher too, I'd be like, here's my justification to be able to get MARTI here because I have all of these tools that are making the content visual for my students in real time instead of just trying to explain, you know, something flat on paper or just going over the concept and speaking about it. So I think that that is something that's great too.
So now, you really want me to blow your mind?
Yes, let's do that. Let's keep going.
So go back to MARTI blocks and see what it looks like if you click on the machine learning tab.
Yeah, actually, you got ahead of me. I was just about to ask you about that. So let's go to the machine learning.
And see what this looks like. There you go. So immediately it comes up with a little tutorial. And so these green blocks, and there's an arrow to the right there that you can kind of scroll through the different tutorials. And then the last one will give you a link to our user guide. So you can shut that. But what this does is you can build your own machine learning model in our software. You don't need another tool. You don't need another site. You can develop a model. You've got it, looks like, in video mode. So you can train a machine learning model to recognize images. So that whether that's your black cube, whether that's an apple, an orange, or banana, whether that's a human versus a robot, whether it's me versus Fonz, you can collect all that sample data and train your own models. And then if you go, Fonz, go back to the code tab at the top. Once you have your model, then go to the ML menu towards the bottom there under My Blocks. Then this is how you then use your model in your own program. So yeah, first step, well, we haven't created one, but the first step would be to actually load the model.
Right.
And then depending on, let's say, for example, we created an audio model and we trained the software to recognize the word forward and the word backwards and the word dance. Then we could come in and we could use some of these blocks either as event handlers or as conditionals and say, if I hear the word forward, what do I want Marty to do? Now, as adults, we would say, have Marty walk forward.
Right.
As a middle schooler, you would say, oh, let's have Marty walk backwards. When I say forward.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of it, right? They get to write their own program and have the robot behave the way they want it to behave when you've trained these different models around different words or different images.
That is
wonderful. And it's quite magical. You just using the color cards, I trained Marty to recognize colors. And I would hold up a card to my camera and I programmed Marty to use the text to speech. And so when I held up red, Marty said red, like a flashcard. And it was just magical that here this robot is able to learn colors, and I was able to teach it colors using these machine learning models. And so it's so different, but yet so similar to something like a ChatGPT, where in this case, another company has created the model and you're just using it. In this case, we're teaching the fundamentals of how to build a machine learning model. And then the student gets to create their own program with that.
That is wonderful. And, you know, this is really mind-blowing hell. Like, really, I didn't expect, you know, again, to have my mind blown like I did today. And for all our audience members that are checking us out live and those that are going to be checking this on the checking out this on the replay, I mean, you really need to go and dive in deep and see what Robotical is doing through Marty. And of course, those of you that are watching the video, you've seen, you know, us do this walkthrough of what is available. For those of you that are catching this on the audio, again, please make sure you check out this episode and make sure you check out all the information so you can learn a little bit more about what we're discussing here, because the platform itself, just Marty itself, is amazing. Like, he's a doll. You're going to have a fun with it. But how the depth that you can take him to in as far as the knowledge and enhancing the learning experience and getting your students to code and learn programming in a fun, interactive, visual, kinesthetic, auditory way. I mean, Marty's hitting on so many modalities that all our students are able to learn in whichever way, shape, or form. But the machine learning aspect too is something that is wonderful in talking about preparing our students for, and everybody says the 21st century, we're already well into the 21st century. So I'm going to say preparing our students for the 31st century, you know, for that, you know, this is something that is amazing and a wonderful entry level, low barrier. And, you know, again, the teachers, I promise, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to simply be present, learn a little bit about what's going on, and they provide you everything that you need just to get started, you know? So that's the great part.
And so we talked about the lessons. I mean, one other thing that might be worth talking about is we are in the process of creating some more student-facing coding cards.
Mm-hmm.
Just to introduce some of the basic concepts. So if you're doing small groups or rotationals, then you could hand some of the cards to a group of students as they go around the room. And that frees up some of the educators' time as well.
Excellent. Well, Hal, this has been an amazing conversation. But before we go, Hal, like I want to get just kind of like your overall, you know, just maybe if you have a message to share with all our educators, you know, just an overall mission, vision, and what they can definitely, I guess, use Marty for and the benefits. Just tell us that, because I know that you're very passionate about this, and this is really getting me excited. And I know that this can get a lot of other educators excited. So tell us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really about bringing that learning to life. And that's one of the huge benefits of MARTI and the humanoid form factor and the engagement and just the relationship between the student and this learning tool, to where learning becomes fun and they just want to do it, right? It's not like you're having to teach a lesson necessarily. It's just like they're automatically engaged because the tool is so nice and inviting.
I love it. Simple, profound, and it covers everything. So guys, you saw it here. If this is your first time meeting Hal, you definitely were in for a treat. If this is your first time meeting MARTI, definitely in for a treat. So tonight was definitely a wonderful episode for you to meet just a passionate individual such as Hal, who's really trying to convey the message to really bring the programming, bring coding, and offering through MARTI a very low entry or low barrier to entry into this world that does not break the bank, but offers so much, as you saw, the unplugged activities, controller activities, and for all grades, absolutely. Yes. And also language supports as well. I mean, it's a one-stop shop. I mean, this is amazing. So Hal, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for what you're doing, what Robotical is doing. I appreciate that. But before we go, Hal, I know in the calendar invite, I always share this with all my guests. I always end the show with the last three questions. So hopefully you're ready for those.
I'm prepared.
All right, perfect. Excellent. Because those are some of the questions that everybody's always like, what's the edge of kryptonite? So Hal, as we know, every superhero has a weakness. And we know that for Superman, kryptonite was his weakness, or that pain point that he had. So I want to ask you, Hal, through your experience, through your lens, what would you say is your current edu kryptonite?
So I was going to expand that to not make it personal, but to make it more about the education system in the U.S. Mm-hmm. in general. And you know, to me, that kryptonite is how we fund and provide high quality educators for students. And you know, as we all know, and this is a huge problem in the U.S., that where you live really determines the kind of quality of education that you're going to get. And to me, that's a tragedy, and that's the kryptonite of education and of edtech, more specifically, but making sure that all students have access to great tools like MARTI and to great educators that are able to bring in some of these innovative tools to the classroom.
Excellent. Great answer, Hal. Thank you so much for sharing that. Question number two, Hal, is if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
So my first response would be a billboard is not a very efficient means of advertising unless you're Buc-ee's. And for those of you in Texas, you know what I'm talking about. So Buc-ee's is a huge gas station. And if you need a clean bathroom and some jerky and barbecue, that's where you stop. But if I had a broad message that I wanted to get out, I would want to actually get out to young people and really encourage them to explore and be creative. I feel like our education system, kind of outside the Montessori system, at least, but our public school system in the U.S. is so confining about building the walls and making sure you're hitting the right outcomes and achievement. And I think over time, that's going to be easier and easier for machines to do. And so one of the key points of differentiation, I believe that humans are going to have, is more the entrepreneurial spirit. And so that involves creativity and risk-taking and innovation. And those are the kind of things that don't fit nicely into the cookie cutter system that we have. And so that would be my message more broadly to you, of don't be afraid to go explore and color outside the lines.
I love it. That is wonderful. I agree with you 100%. For me, it's really that creativity that we definitely need to bring more into schools. And like I mentioned to you, I think I had a guest maybe about a year ago who mentioned that, you know, while she was in high school, a ninth grade teacher, she was really, pushing the students to be creative, and they were finding it very difficult. And, you know, she said that what she noticed is, like, from third grade on, yeah, you know, because the state testing starts in third grade, a lot of that creativity just was never practiced, or there was never enough time for students to, like you said, think
right
outside
answer?
The box.
They've been conditioned to just find the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in life, there's not always a right answer. And as an entrepreneur, there's not always a right answer. And so being comfortable with that ambiguity is not something that we're really preparing them for.
Yeah, I agree. Great answer. All right, Hal. And the last question, is, do you have a favorite activity or hobby that you wish you could turn into a full-time profession? And if so, what would it be?
So I'm going to cheat and say I've kind of already done this. So when I worked in high tech, computer science education, helping kids, that was my hobby. Yeah, and we talked some about all of my volunteer work. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to turn that into a profession and almost a second career, if you will. And so I left the dog-eat-dog world of the high-tech industry, and now in ed tech, whether it's nonprofits like Microbit or KidSpark Education or a startup like Robotical, I'm living my dream, living my passion to help kids get these foundational skills.
I love it. I love it, Hal. And you're definitely doing a great thing. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing. Like I said, getting to meet you in person for the first time about 2 years ago. And then also right after that, getting introduced to Marty as well. I mean, you guys are doing some great work, and I appreciate you, like I mentioned before, the work that you're doing, what Robotical is doing also as well. And so hopefully tonight, all our audience members that are checking this out live, whether you're on Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube or anywhere, you saw what you're able to do with Marty. For those of you that are catching this on the replay, please make sure that you visit, the website, and then you're able to see all the great things that you can do with Marty. And also that evaluation, guys, 2 weeks, you get Marty for 2 weeks, bring him into your school, bring him into your class, see the fun that and the engagement and the learning that can take place. And then obviously you have something there for, those decision makers that they can actually see something tangible and see the quality too. Because I must say, Marty is a quality built robot. I promise you, he is sturdy. It's nothing that, in one fell swoop, one fall down or knock down or something like that is going to break. I mean, it's built tough. I promise you.
And so we back that up with a 2-year warranty as well.
There you go.
So yeah, Marty is designed and built for the classroom, and we know what kind of environment that is. We use really high quality gears and servos. They're all metal gearing, and so yeah, Marty's a tough cookie.
One tough cookie for sure. Thank you so much, Hal. I really appreciate you. And again, all our audience members, thank you so much for checking us out live. If you're checking us out live, or if you're checking this out on the replay, thank you, as always, for making my EdTech life what it is today. We appreciate all the love, all the support. Please make sure that you visit our website at myedtech.life, where you can check out this amazing episode and the other 263 wonderful episodes, where you're going to go ahead and learn from professionals, practitioners, educators, entrepreneurs, and there's going to be something for everybody, guys. So I promise you, you're going to find something that you can take knowledge nuggets from and sprinkle them onto what you are already doing great. Please make sure that you follow us on all socials if you haven't done so yet, at My EdTech Life. We are on all socials as well. And again, jump over to our YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed, give us a thumbs up, give us a like. We would have really appreciated it. Our goal for 2024 is to get to 1,000 subscribers, and we're almost there. And any little help will go a long way. So thank you, as always, for all of your support. And my friends, until next time, don't forget, stay techie.